says the word of the Lord.
And when they heard these things, they were enraged. They ground their teeth at them. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man is standing at the right hand of God. Cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he attempted this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. Before he died, Stephen was made to gaze into the heavenly temple. Saw the glory of God. It was fitting that this privilege be given to them. For the vision was the confirmation of those words he had spoken. The Most High does not dwell in a house made by hands. Words that had enraged those who heard them. Words for which Stephen was about to give up his life. Now, as we said before, while it was a wondrous thing for Stephen to gaze into heaven, and to see the glory of the Lord, that would not have in itself been strange beyond the fact that it is not given to many to see in this life. For throughout the Old Testament, when the heavens were opened to a prophet, what he sees. When the heavens were opened to a prophet, he would see the glory of God. As in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. Or Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. The heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. This is the very thing that one would expect to see, were the heavens to be opened to him. Would expect to see the glory of the Lord. That Stephen would gaze into heaven and see the glory of God. This fits the pattern of prophetic visions of heaven, as we find those visions in the Old Testament. It was a wondrous thing to see into heaven. If one were given that privilege, this is what we would expect him to see. We would expect him to see the glory of the Lord, and we would find it strange if he did not. But Stephen says something that would have been unexpected.
something that confirms the truth of what he had before spoken. Verse 56. Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Now this also is not without precedent. In the Old Testament, we hear something almost identical to these words. We find it in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. He came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. In both the vision of Daniel and in the vision of Stephen, the Son of Man is seen in heaven. There is a difference between the two visions. Daniel's vision was a vision in the night. It was like a dream. It was a vision of things to come. But Stephen's vision was not like a dream. It was not a vision of things to come. It was a vision of things that have come. It was a vision of things that are. Things that are now and ever shall be. Was the confirmation to those who heard him that what he had spoken was true. The one they betrayed, the one they murdered, he was the one announced beforehand by the prophets. And now, having ascended upon the clouds of heaven, the same one had come to the Ancient of Days. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples should serve him now and forever. Amen. This truth only enraged them all the more. They cried out and stopped their ears, lest Stephen's words bring them to their knees. But they were full of pride. And man, in his pride, does not like to yield. And so he must stop the mouths of those who speak the truth. To those who heard it, Stephen's vision of the Son of Man in heaven, it was an abomination, for they had no desire to serve a Christ whom they had rejected. They had no desire to serve a Christ whom they despised. But Stephen's vision of the Son of Man in heaven. It meant more than this. It also meant the end of something they held dear. It meant the end of the temple in Jerusalem. For the Son of Man to dwell with the glory of God in heaven. It means that one in our likeness, one with our nature, one in our flesh has entered the heavenly Jerusalem and the heavenly temple. Consider that before the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, before his ascension into heaven, never before has a priest served God in the holy places of heaven, a priest in our likeness, a priest with our flesh. But only in those copies and shadows upon the earth, in the most holy place of the tabernacle, and in the most holy place of the temple. There, the high priest, in our likeness, with our flesh, would enter behind the veil to stand before the Lord in his glory. But even that, only once a year. But now it is not so. Now a man, one in our likeness, one with our flesh, a man has entered behind the veil once for all and stands perpetually before the Lord, not in those temples of type and shadow, but in the heavenly reality itself. He stands there before the Lord in his glory as our great high priest. And by the gift of his Spirit poured out upon our flesh, we may enter in him and we may stand with him. Truly, the church is now the dwelling place of God on earth. For by the Spirit, we are united to him. He in us, and we in him. This is our union with Christ. And we see this union in Stephen. For when one is united to Christ, he is conformed to Christ. We begin to see Christ in that one. In that one's life, we begin to see the life of Christ. We are accustomed to seeing shadows of Christ in the Old Testament. But we are not as accustomed to seeing images of Christ in the New Testament. But that is what we find here. We are here not only to see Stephen in Christ. We are also to see Christ in Stephen. For we see in the death of Stephen, the death of Christ. We find the death of Stephen as recorded in Acts, the reflection of the death of Jesus as recorded in Luke. As the author of Luke is the author of Acts, We can be certain that we are being invited here to read these two accounts together. To read the death of Stephen with the death of Christ. To read them as bound, as one. Even as Stephen is bound to Christ. We find this in subtle ways. At the death of Christ, lots were cast for the dividing of his garments. And at the death of Stephen, he himself was cast out of the city, and the garments of his accusers were laid at the feet of Saul. But we see it in more obvious ways as well. At the death of Christ, looking upon those who crucified him, Christ says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And at the death Stephen, looking upon those who stoned him, Stephen cries out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." We see Stephen in Christ, and we see Christ and Stephen. And again, at the death of Christ, as he prepared to breathe his last, he called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." At the death of Stephen, as he began to fall to his knees, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." We see Stephen in Christ. We see Christ in Stephen. And as it was the Father's pleasure to receive the Spirit of his Son, though it had been his will to crush him and put him to grief, so it was the Son's pleasure to receive the Spirit of Stephen, though it had been his will to lead him to death and bring him through grief. We see in the death of Stephen the death of Christ. We see Stephen in Christ, and Christ in Stephen. And so we understand that to be conformed to Christ means to be conformed to the whole Christ. That includes his cross. It includes his suffering. It includes his death. You cannot be conformed to Christ unless you are conformed to his cross. Unless you are conformed to his sufferings. Unless you are conformed to his death. But do not despair. Christ did not despair. And if we are conformed to the whole Christ,
is not only then to his cross, but also to his resurrection. It's not only to his suffering, but also to his glory. It's not only to his death, but also to his life. And we have this grace that though Christ died alone and in sadness, in our deaths, we are not forsaken. For though in heaven, there he intercedes for us and is ready to receive us. See the assurance of this, that we see him standing at the right hand of God. Grace is this, that after the death of Stephen, the poor sinner, the King of heaven, would stand. What grace is this, that at his death, the Lord of Lords would stand. To uphold him, to assure him, even in death, I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. With such grace as this, would not have been possible for Stephen, surrounded by his enemies, to say anything out, Lord, do not hold this sin. Even with his last breath, he breathes the grace that he himself has received. It is Stephen in Christ, and Christ in Stephen. Yet we see the grace of his death, in which he died. But let us not overlook the grace of that life in which he is raised. For that life is the life of Christ. But that life is also the life of the Trinity. It is not only the death of Christ that we see in the death of Stephen. It is also the baptism of Christ that we see. But what happened at the baptism of Christ? Opened.
descended.
A voice was heard. You are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased. In the baptism of Christ, we see the life of the Trinity. It is the life of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Spirit. A life that is begotten in love. A life that proceeds in joy. And at the death of Stephen, we see this life in him. But we find him full of the Holy Spirit, gazing upon the glory of the Father, held by the power of the Son. What grace is this, that even death cannot separate us from life, from this gaze of glory, from this communion of love, from this fullness of joy. Let us then look to him. Let us look to Christ in life and in death. And let us not doubt that the grace of his life and the grace of his death behold, the Son of Man is standing at the right hand